Hello and welcome to The Leaderverse with your hosts, Drew Lee, Lucas Sheradin, and me, Jesse Button. I think my favorite quote from today comes from Lucas. He says, "Life is too short to climb the ladder of success, only to realize that ladder was leaned against the wrong freaking wall." We asked some big questions today, like, do you have an addiction to safety and security? See, there are biological reasons why we're going to feel fear. But as Drew puts it, the question becomes, how do we shift our thinking from the burnout / survival zone to where we actually put ourselves in the performance zone? So, are you secure in your current story? Or is it time to tell a more empowering one? I'll be honest, this episode was for me today, y'all. All that and more today on The Leaderverse.
So, hey, Drew, I got a question for you, buddy.
Sure.
If you, as a coach, if you have somebody who is like potentially and hypothetically at a job that they absolutely hate, you see them getting their soul eaten out every single day, and they got a passion that could be monetized, how would you coach that person?
Great question. I think the first thing I would figure out is, okay, is what do they want and necessarily why they want it? Why we want it immediately as well, obviously we all have a need to make an income. So whether I need a job or I need to be my own boss or I need to create something, it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, we all have a certain need financially. But what's a desire? What's a skill set? And what's stopping you would be my first questions.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's a real issue is people need money. And I watch it happen in real estate all the time. I watch it happen with other friends that they need money. So they take, quote, the route of security, which I'm thinking about is like they take the route of security. And yet their passion, their dreams, their wiring, their DNA says to do this. And they just haven't had the wherewithal, the time, the challenge, whatever the stimulus needs to be to find out, how do I take this that I'm really good at and passionate about and could be amazing at, and how do I bridge that gap between the unknown and the current security? Because life is too short to climb the ladder of success only to realize that ladder was leaned against the wrong freaking wall.
Well, one thing I would ask you when you look at your unique skill set is, what problems do you know you can solve for others?
Boy, that's so good.
That's such a good question.
Because we look at the people in that are rewarded, especially on a financial scale, they're rewarded at the highest level. They have found how to solve problems. The faster they can solve a problem, the more they're financially rewarded. Or the bigger the problem, the more they're rewarded for it. So what problem can you solve for other people? Mm-hmm. Then do you have the intelligence, knowledge, and can you get past or beyond the fear? Or, you know, one of our friends said, you know, one of the greatest addictions that we have is the addiction to a paycheck. I don't think it's the addiction to paycheck. It's the addiction to security. It's the addiction to safety and having a, you know, safe house, safe life, safe income, safe career, safe relationship, safe, yeah. safe. And, yeah. You know, Tony Robbins taught me many years ago that the quality of your life is in direct proportion to the amount of insecurity or the amount of uncertainty you can comfortably live with. I'll say it again. The quality of your life is in direct proportion to the amount of uncertainty you can comfortably live with. So, and that varies for person to person of, all right, do they operate more with their prefrontal cortex or does their amygdala take control? And then can they push themselves beyond that part of feel the fear and do it anyway? Because courage is not feeling fear, or courage is not an absence of fear. Courage is, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it anyway.
Yep.
And who inspires us?
I started laughing, Drew, because I started seeing a counselor that I'm paying a lot of money for just to wade through the layers and layers of BS that I built up all over to defend my own self. And he immediately started with, this is how your brain's wired. And he had me read a book that I've never even heard of called Mindsight. And it's like, it's not available on Kindle, it's not available in Audible. And it's a psychiatrist that graduated from Harvard, and talking about how your amygdala, in the middle of your, he uses a fist that your amygdala is in the middle of your prefrontal cortex and all that. But this is the interesting thing, is your amygdala has no reference of time. And so when I'm like, I need security, I need uncertainty, uncertainty, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. Your amygdala is firing, but it's going back to a point in time because it doesn't know if the time that you did go broke or the time you really were in danger, is that now? Is that then? Is that, the future? It has no grid of time. And what happens is the blood stops flowing to your prefrontal cortex that can organize it in time, and you actually feel those fears in a very real way. And it's like, thank you very much. $400 an hour for a therapist, and you just got that. But my
Yeah,
what?
and there's a biological reason that this happens that we can't necessarily shortcut. We have to work through, power through, strive through,
You're right.
because when we're talking about areas of the brain and the science behind that, for somebody who's listening, that might be like, what the heck are they discussing? What is an amygdala? What is a prefrontal cortex? Think of it as these are your, the amygdala is the fight or flight mechanism in your mind that takes control. And the logical, reasoning, visionary, creative side is that prefrontal cortex. And your brain is actually hardwired because I want you to think about of risk analysis. Okay. You find yourself in a situation where all of a sudden dogs jump over a fence, they're Rottweilers, and they're running at you. Okay. And they are barking, they're mean, they're big. You're not gonna slow down and be like, oh, can I pet them? Right? And that part of the creative brain visionary process, our survival, that part actually operates fairly slowly. Like to make a decision can take as much as 2 minutes of, well, let's see, do they look nice? Oh, that look, that's a nice fence. Oh, look at it. They jumped over it. Oh, they're coming towards me. They're frothing at the mouth. Wow. We're not analyzing that. So for your own survival,
Yeah, that's right.
the limbic system, the reptilian, the prehistoric portion of our operating system says, I need to actually power down the logic, reasoning, visionary, creative side of things and effing run. Just instinctually run. So when that happens, our response time dramatically increases. We go up, and now we're operating on instinct. We're operating on just sheer, just go, 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 go.
Here's a
Struggle
statement.
is that's in that moment of life or death. We also do it, should I go to work tomorrow? Anything that creates fear, if we stew in it, well, we end up in the same thing. I can't really be a visionary, creative thinker laying out what I want my life to look like if all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but how am I going to pay my bills? Then I'll end up homeless on the street, and I'll be like a camping or a bag lady or live in a tent, and I don't want that. I like this roof. I like having air conditioning. I'm not going to do anything. I'm gonna wait. When the moment is right. When I hit that lottery, when that scratch off pays off, then I'll make
Then.
my move.
Then.
I think leaders don't understand, and that's so good, Drew, because that is exactly the biology and the physicality of how our brains, and it's good because if a bear is coming at you, you don't want to logically think through that. You want your brain just to crank. The challenge with it is like if somebody's thinking about leaving a job, if somebody's thinking about doing something different, and you're not thinking about that. I heard John Acuff say it this way. It was really, really such a great video. He said the tools that are developed during danger that are useful for us to get out of danger sometimes now will require us to create danger for those tools to be useful. Because we don't know how to live any other way, because we've got a set of tools that, man, we were broke. And so I developed these tools to be able to survive broke. And if I think broke is about ready to come, I pick those tools back up so that they're useful again, because I know how to use the tools that are useful. And I think about that just as we coach people, like, why do you not lead generate? Why do you not recruit? Why do you not take this calculated risk or whatever it is? And I think what they're doing is they're picking up a tool that used to be useful 10, 15, 20 years ago. They're using it today, and it's not required today. They're not in any danger, and they have to, you have to, I think probably your job, Drew, is like, get back to your prefrontal cortex. Get back to the part of your brain that actually is thinking about, is there danger in picking up the phone and calling a recruit? Is there really danger in calling a for sale by owner? Is there really danger? You're thinking about a seven-year-old child that got rejected on the playground, and that's not happening today.
To a large extent, yes. And you know, what is driving your decision-making process? You know, most of our decisions, as many of you know, and most of, if not all of us, have experienced at a time or two in our life, is you have two people. One is driven by get away from whatever is causing us pain or discomfort in our life. And the other is, I'm going to move towards this thing that I really want. And the drive to get there is the only motivator. I'm going to reach that. I'm going to, you know, and that's why they often say it's like your greatest creativity or creative thinking comes after you've met your basic needs. You know, we talked about Elon Musk before. It's like, I just have a feeling the guy wouldn't be thinking about going to Mars if he had to worry about like where was his, you know, could he afford to pay and buy ramen this week? That's my hallucination. I see that as, look, he's met his needs, so now you're unlocking that. Now, what am I moving towards? Because I'm no longer moving away from something. Dan Sullivan called this the gap and the gain. The gain is what you're moving towards. The gap is what you're moving away from, or when you compare yourself to an ideal version or a blueprint of what I think my life and my work is supposed to be. Well, if your only goal is to not be broke, then go get a job and then you're not broke. Well, but I don't like the job. Well, but you weren't moving to gain something. You were moving to get away from pain. You did that. By the way, if you now leave said job, you've put yourself right back into the fight or flight or the stimuli that created the need to go get a job in the first place. So how do we shift our thinking so we're in the, instead of in the burnout zone or the survival zone, we actually put ourselves in the performance zone. What's high energy, positive that you want to move towards?
Drew, could I ask you a question? When somebody is like in the middle of their story, when they're in the middle of, they're not listening to the right side of their brain, they're listening to their reptilian brain, they're like all in. And by the way, that is not, you're just making up a story and fabricating. That is very real for the person that is in that, like, well, this is the best decision and I have to do this and I don't have a choice. What, like, if you could break it down step by step, how do you help them become aware that they're creating something in their own head? How do you help them get their power back? Because at that moment, they've abdicated their power to something outside of themselves, not inside of themselves. What do you find effective in that? Help, I mean, I'm not that I'm needing a therapist or anything, but this could be free therapy for me. So
Me too.
I'm asking for a friend, Drew, asking hypothetically for a friend out there that might need help from an expert coach.
There are a couple things. One is identifying is their behavior helping or hindering them from getting whatever it is that they actually want. You know, because we all live in a story. The question is the story keeping you stuck or is it moving you forward? Are you progressing in some way? Are you evolving in some way? Or is that story limiting your growth, your performance? You know, I'm too old. I don't know enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, nobody would join my company. Nobody would follow me. Nobody would buy my products. Nobody would buy my service. Okay, that would be a story that's very disempowering. And what we're doing is we find constant evidence that supports that story to be true, however empowering or disempowering it is. So it starts with, all right, what it is that, what's your point B or what are we working towards? Now, how do you create the level of awareness? First, you have to have leverage of why this is important. Why is it important to even identify or discuss the story? Because the story is safety. The story is coming. I mean, the story is there to benefit you. And then we layer on all this evidence of why this, like, nobody, I can't hire anybody. Everybody sucks anyway. There's no talented people out there. They're all idiots. If you want to grow a massive company, is that an empowering story? Yet how many people, that's their story every day. Nobody wants to work. Nobody's talented. All these people are new. None of them this, none of them that. We generalize. And if you want to grow a massive company and you need talented people around you, is that going to be an empowering story?
It's really good.
So sometimes a very direct approach. Well, how's that working for you? I mean, that seems to have got you where you want to be in life. Why don't we just do that all over again? So, you want to build a company that needs, 10 high quality people to help you execute this plan. And you're telling me you can't hire anybody, nobody come work for you, nobody wants to work, everybody sucks. Okay, well, that seems to be working. Let's just keep doing that. How long do you want to keep telling yourself that story? By the way, what if I buy into your story? Where will that put us in 6 months?
Oh, that's good.
There is not any one technique or one thing or one magic question that unlocks that doorway or that path towards freedom or improvement. In some ways, first, nothing changes until you can get a person, and yourself included, to own all your own shit.
That is so true.
You are in a cycle, you're in a repetitious pattern, and a repetitious pattern is another way of saying it's a ceiling. Because you bounce off a ceiling and then you just repeat and you bounce off a ceiling. It's kind of like if you've ever seen a fly and it's attempting to get, outdoors, or it's stuck at a window or a glass door. It just keeps banging its head against the glass, thinking, all right, well, that didn't work the last time. I'll just keep bang, 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 bang. And it's not because the fly thinks it's going to break through the glass. It's just looking for a way out, and
Yeah,
it
that's
doesn't
right.
know another way. It doesn't realize glass is in the way. It just says, okay, I want to be over there. I'm over here and I want to be there. I'll just keep going. Even if there was an open window, or I mean, you ever have a fly in your car? You roll down the window,
Doesn't
you're trying
care.
to
You're like,
shoo it
it's
out. You're like, it's
go.
got, don't you feel the air blowing? Come,
Be
go.
free, be free.
It's like, I can't kill you. I don't have a fly swatter. I will swat it. Just go. I don't like. I'm attempting to let you be free. Go annoy someone else. And even with that window open, they'll fly to the other side of the car. Zit, 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 zit. So they don't realize this is a flawed strategy. Somehow that person has to go from, I want to from go from point A to point B. I've got to acknowledge, is do I own my point A? I'm where I am today. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's responsibility, not somebody else's issue. And it's difficult when somebody is really fixated, stuck, or even addicted to their story. You got to remember, giving up that story is giving up the safety and the justification and the complaining and all of the reasons they're there. There is certainty in that. And as I said earlier, the quality of your life is in direct proportion to the amount of uncertainty you can comfortably live with. If the world's out to get you, I watched this thing on Roseanne Barr last night. It's a tragic story. I never knew she had mental illness. I never knew she had a traumatic brain injury that she feels is responsible for her outlandish behavior. However, it made her famous. It also has become a very detrimental thing to her life, her kids. Mental illness is a very, very sad aspect that many people suffer with. And yet she is so fixated on this story that also creates safety. I mean, who am I if I give up this story? It's comfortable in my chaos. It's comfortable in my story. It's safe in my story. It's secure in my story. And you're going to ask me to give all of that up? The world's out to get me? Everyone's evil. Everyone is this way. Everyone is that way. You want me to give that up? That's like, in some cases, I'm gonna go really extreme. That would be like your parents that you grew up with. They've raised you, you've known no other parents, and you're 40 years old and they walk in and say, "We're not your real parents."
Yeah,
Like,
it's
you want me to
identity.
give up everything that I know or I believe that also justifies and has kept me safe? It's secure. I'm secure in my insanity. I'm secure in my story. You just want
Well,
me to give that up, Lucas?
yeah, it goes to that John Acuff thing, is that I had to grab some tools to be able to survive a danger. Now I'm out of danger, but the only tools I know how to use were the ones that helped me survive danger. So I just pick those tools up and I create the danger, I create the chaos, I create the dysfunction. I create the pseudo safety, because the truth, it's funny when somebody says, "I like the safety of my job." Well, what happens when you walk in tomorrow and your boss is having a bad day and they look at you and say, "I don't like you anymore"? Is there really certainty in that? Because Tony Robbins, it's funny that you mentioned that about the level of certainty, because he also says one of the basic human needs is certainty. So we have conflicting needs at every given time. It's where do we choose to go with those two needs?
Great part. Great question. It's a great question. So
Yeah, people
you've got
start.
to have established a point A and a point B. You've got to have a reason for getting out of your story. And it's got to be compelling enough to be willing to go through the fear or have the courage that point B is pulling you enough, or you want to get away from the point A bad enough. One of the two. Getting away from the point A is the pain. Getting towards the point B is the gain, or the pleasure pain principle. There's a number of analogies that coincide with that. But that's what drives all human behavior. I mean, every human behavior we have is fundamentally linked to our neuro association with pain and pleasure. I mean, we like to think of ourselves, no, I'm far more advanced than that. That's not me. I am this way. I don't think that way. I don't agree with you, Drew. I don't agree with that statement. I'm not driven by pleasure and pain. Okay. Well, that's fundamentally amazing that you are that evolved as a human being, because the rest of us are operating roughly 90 to 95% of the time in unconscious pre-programmed automated responses of how we respond to stimuli. Bell rings, we salivate. How do you know? How many times have you checked your email in the last day? Every time it notifies bing, bing, you immediately run and you get that endorphin hit. Or you update, you put a post online. How many times do you go to check to
Oh,
see what's happened with it? How many likes do I
it
have? How many
feels so
comments?
good. It feels so
Yes.
good, though.
Can I tell you what that's really funny is that I told you I read this book, Mindsight. Well, it's not on Kindle. And I struggled the other night because for the last year and a half, every night before, like, it's my habit, every night before I go to bed, I read. Well, I have a year and a half streak on Kindle. And the other night, it's like, I'm not reading my Kindle right now. I'll read this book. I'm like, and it was like, I have literally have this argument in my head because I want Kindle to notify me, "Hey, you unlocked the perfect week again." It's like, oh my gosh, I was reading not to get the streak on Kindle. It's like, just those little, and like, how come I'm getting a little positive energy from a notification from Kindle, for the love of all that's good and holy? That is
Yeah.
crazy. And yet, Drew, you're exactly right. It's like that little endorphin thing. I literally was tempted just to pick up my Kindle, read one page, and put it back down and go back to my book just to keep the streak alive. Like, this is insane. Break
Well,
the
what's
freaking
funny,
streak.
Lucas, is as we're having this conversation, do we think like idiots designed all of these things, like by random or happen, accident, happen chance, happenstance?
I remember listening to somebody who designed video games, and a very real part of a video game designing crew are psychologists on addiction, because they want to make sure that that game is addictive, so you come back to it over and over and over and over again. If you went
Yes.
to see the staff of any gaming company, they have psychologists who are specialists in addiction. So that's
Wow.
why Tetris, seriously, think about it. Tetris, if you ever played Tetris, you start playing it and you can't stop playing it. And at night when you go to sleep, you're seeing these little shapes fall in
Yes.
your head.
Yes.
And even the music would coincide with the
Oh,
speed
yeah.
that would create a friend. Ah! Like if you just didn't, it would speed up, which would create a frenzy of, oh my God, I gotta put it, which often, would end the game even quicker because you'd make poor choices out of panic and fear. And
Yes.
the same is true of, I mean, it's been well documented that, our cell phones, most of the apps and many of the tools, and especially the most addictive ones, they're designed to mirror the wheels of a slot machine. I mean, why do you think you scroll? What does the scroll look like? Take three of them. What do you have? You have a slot machine. Do I get three cherries, three stars, three diamonds?
The infinite scroll, there is an inventor, and he struggles greatly with depression and mental health because of creating that. To this day, he talks about it. He wishes he never invented it because he says it's so bad for humanity. It's terrible for our brains. Yeah, it's an absolute addiction.
Please find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube,
Deep
where you
scroll.
scroll incessantly. Please, please.
Downloads us on, well, to a degree, I think that's why maybe, or perhaps the death of websites is what, because you have to search for something now. You got to actually go to a search bar.
You're gonna make me go to a website? Give me the answer when my thumb goes like this. Thank you.
So to prevent you from needing to go to a website, anything you do search for, now we're going to make sure we just put that in front of you everywhere you go from now on until,
It's interesting too, because somebody once suggested as a tool to get off your phone so much, is there is a feature on iPhone, at least. I don't know if it's on Android and the others. I don't even know if those are real phones anyway, but on iPhone, you could actually put it on grayscale. Like all the colors turn gray instead of colorful. And it's like, I did it for about an hour. It's like, oh, I gotta get it back. That's just so weird. I can't do this. It's like, yes, it is. It has programmed us. And we are real. I think that's why, Drew, I think for me, every once in a while as a leader, you have to do stuff that intentionally gets you way outside of your programming, way outside of your. You have to go to a group that you're not known in and feel the discomfort of being the stranger in the room. You have to try, like the whole, this last week I ran, still training for a marathon, 8 miles this last week. There was nothing comfortable. Well, it's interesting is like the first mile is always awful. I always have a bad conversation going on in my head. I hate it. Mile three is always a buzz. It's my best mile for whatever reason. I enjoy it. I like it. But by the last couple of miles, it's like, this is so far outside my zone. And I'm reminding myself, it's like, I'm doing everything that I can to do stuff that makes me uncomfortable so I see who I really am, not who I'm, my routines are. Right. And like the level of complaining, like Lucas, that's not because of running. That's because of that's who you are.
Hey, and you're building the resilience muscle, another part of the brain, the anterior mid cingulate cortex.
Wow,
Just
that was a
now we've
big
covering
word.
just all sorts of brain anatomy. But because you're pushing yourself to do the one thing or that thing you don't want to do, that creates discomfort. And that's, whatever that is. I mean, I got into an ice bath yesterday and I'm sitting
Oof.
there and it well and it's that's one of those things is like it's like, oh, what is that like? I'm like, it never gets easier.
Cold.
Like running, actually, I can build endurance and it gets easier and you can get faster. I don't care how many times I've gotten into an ice bath. It's every bit as painful each time. It's
Dude,
uncomfortable
I
every
got into my
time.
swimming pool at 81 degrees. It was too cold, man. I'm like, oh, this is awful.
What is to your point is what is it that you do that gets you out of your own comfort
I've got to do
zone?
it, yeah.
And there's a great book called The Comfort Crisis
Yeah, great
that
book.
describes it's how comfortable we've become. And if you don't find ways, guess what's going to happen to our comfort zone? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you're really thinking about this, is all of the tools and the resources and the technology and the things that we have that are being created and developed and enhanced and improved. AI, for example, doesn't that just shrink our comfort zone? Makes us even more complacent, compliant. And then what are you going to do to push yourself? You're going to write a paper? Oh my God. You're going to write a blog. Why would you do that? You only need to write like two words and then AI will fill it in. Why would you ever write something? Why would you create something? Imagine what happens to our comfort zone if we don't push beyond and get clear on what's the point B that you want? What's the point A that you want to get away from? And what's the safety and security that you're holding on to currently that you're going to have to let go to reach for that next thing? I've used this analogy numerous times. We all live like children in a giant game of life on the monkey bars. Every rung on the monkey bars is a new experience. It's a new chapter. It's a new part of our journey. It's accomplishment. It's achievement. It's doing new, exciting things. It's growth. It's relationships. It's financial. But it's moving forward or progressing. And in every case, you have a choice. You can hang where you are. It's safe, right? You can just sit there and you've got both bars and you're hanging in a safe and secure environment. It's like, all right. You can grab one bar in front of you, which is still moving forward, but to progress, at some point in time, you have to let go of what you know, what's safe, what you're holding on to, what's frankly keeping you in the air. You have to let go of it to reach for that next bar, or you stay stuck. For an achiever, being stuck is the worst thing you can be.
Right.
For someone who has to progress and an achiever to move forward, you've got to get to the point where I'm not comfortable, but I'm comfortable enough to let go of that bar to reach for the next one, knowing what if you fall?